We've been preaching about Jesus, the anointed one, the one who reached out to the down and out, the one who touched the needs of so many. And finally, we've been seeing him as the teacher. And we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount, looking at his teachings and what it means to us in our generation and culture today. Today we're going to see one of those lessons that he taught about going the second mile. Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. An eye for an eye. But you've had it now. Don't you dare do anything to me. I've got the right to get you back. That command is found in Exodus 21, 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. In Leviticus 24, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Deuteronomy, and then I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now in these places, it was given as a general rule to regulate the decision of judges. Sorry, it's not for the everyday individual. Hello. This is for the magistrate, the one that sit in judgment. And that's why this rule was given. Christ finds no fault with the rule as applies to those who are magistrates and judges. He does not take it upon himself to repeal it and say, no, no, no. But instead of confining it to magistrates, the Jews had extended it to everyday people. The Jews said, well, we'll just put that out for everybody. Not just the courts, not just the magistrate, but we'll let everybody, if you do me wrong, then I have a right to do you wrong. No, Jesus is teaching us here, it is not about revenge. It's not about justifying oneself. Against this, our Savior says no. He declares that the law had no reference to private revenge. It was given to regulate the magistrate, and their private conduct was to be regulated by different principles. So let's get that cleared up right up front. Amen? That is not our intention. It was not Christ's intention. The general principle which he laid down was that we are not to resist evil. That is, as it is in the Greek, not to set ourselves up against an evil person who is injuring us. Now, Christ is not teaching us here that we don't have the right to defend ourselves. He is not teaching us here that we don't have the right to defend ourselves and resist when somebody breaks in our home or is planning on murdering or doing us danger. That's the law of nature. It's all of the laws of human and divine are justify self-defense when life is in danger. Cannot be the intention to teach, though the father could just sit by coolly while you watch somebody murder his family. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a smaller detail. That's a given. That if somebody breaks in my home, like the writing, I went to visit one of my elderly ladies here a couple of years ago. She had a little sign outside of her door that says, "Trespassers will be shot." And then it said, "Survivors will be shot again." I said, "All right." "Hello! Hey. It's the preacher!" That law is so situated that it is part of our life and living. We know that we have the right to protect our life and our families. So break into 12011 and be waving a gun around, and I've got the judge that'll answer. Amen. That's it. That's given. Jesus is talking about something smaller than that. Something that he is confining himself to, these smaller matters, to things of comparatively trivial interest. And says that in these we had better take wrong than to enter into the strife and into lawsuits. So if I have an ice cream cone and somebody comes up and says, "Give that to me," I'm going to give it to him. I'm not going to say to him, "That's mine." Because you know what's going to happen before it's all over? The ice cream's going to be melted. Now that's making it very simple. But if your neighbor says, "Hey, an inch of your ground belongs to me," have at it. It's less I have to cut. You know, that sort of thing. We're talking about the trivial things. And that's what Jesus is getting at. First case is when we are smitten on the cheek. Turn the right cheek also. You want to hit me on the cheek? Here's a check. Bill?
Sir.
Yeah, he doesn't say what to do after he hits sanctuary. Now, if somebody perchance slaps you on the cheek, he says, "Turn the other one." Don't be getting into a slap habit. Amen? Just get it over with. He's satisfied. It's over. It's finished. Turn the other cheek. This does not, however, prevent from him disagreeing firmly. You know, he himself, Jesus said, replied to the ones that were beating him. He said to them, "If I said anything wrong, you have to prove it." He said, "But if I'm speaking the truth, why are you beating me?" He's not saying you don't have a right to say, "Hey, why are you doing that? What's wrong with you, man?" Don't you know better? What I am doing is the truth. It's right. There's nothing wrong with it. But if he persists on slapping you on the other cheek, get it over with, get it settled, get it done. The second evil mentioned is when a man is litigious, that is, he wants to sue you, and determined to take all advantage the law can give him, following us with vexations and expensive lawsuits. Jesus is directing us here, rather than imitate him, rather than contend with the vengeful spirit in court of justice and perpetual broils and trifling injury, yield to him. If he wants your coat, give him your cloak also. Now, a coat, the Jews wore two principal garments. Do we have a picture of that? Yeah. Two principal garments, an interior and an exterior. The interior here is called the coat or the tunic, and was made commonly of linen and encircled the whole body, extending down to the knees, covering up everything, sometimes even beneath the garment. In the case of the priest, the coat or tunic was extended to the neck and had long or short sleeves, and over this was commonly worn an upper garment called the cloak. Jesus is saying, well, if he wants your coat, give him your other garment as well. Amen. Don't fight with him. Don't be contentious with him. Now, in my 71 years, nobody has said, give me your coat. No one's ever taken me to court. No one's ever sued me. So I see I try to live a life to stay away from those fellows. Behave myself. When my neighbor got angry with me, well, I guess I did have a fellow. He wanted to sue me. He didn't like the fact that we had to come in past through this development into the church. He wanted us to put a main driveway out on the main road. And so I did my best to try to get the permits and do all that he wanted done. And he went throughout the development. He had a petition trying to get all of our neighbors to sign the petition and sue Pastor Lay for breach of contract and all of that sort of thing. A lot of the people in the development said, no, 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 we're not messing with the church. We're not messing with the preacher. But meanwhile, what was my response to him? I picked tomatoes out of my garden and put them on his front porch. I took him cucumbers and I took him squash over and put them on his front porch. Every time he was out in the yard and I went by, he turned his head, but I waved anyhow. Amen. Went on for a couple of years. Finally, one day when I was working over there in one of my properties, he came walking in with tears running down his eyes and said, would you pray for me? Amen. You know what I said? You know what I should have said? Nothing. Wrong, wrong. Is that what I should have told him?
No.
Took the hammer down, not at him. Lay hands on him. Lord, touch my neighbor. Bless my neighbor. You know his needs. You know what's going on in his life. Help him, Lord. Hallelujah. Be with him in a very special way. So, you know, in those times we're talking about agreeing with the person who is trying to get the best of you. Get it over with rather than get into a bunch of hullabaloo and a mess, and you first thing you know you've paid a lawyer $10,000 when you could have given him $2,000 and satisfied him. Hello? Is that what Jesus... That's what he's telling us. Jesus said an adversary wished to obtain at law one of these garments rather than contend with him. Let him have the other one also. Now, he went on to say, next, whoever compels you to go 1 mile... go with him the second mile. Now the word translated shall compel here is of Persian origin. Cyrus, King Cyrus, had an empire. And that was back before the days of post office. We'll not go there. But Cyrus set up this unique transportation of message system. He would station riders every so often. How many has ever heard of the Pony Express? Well, it was kind of like that. And so when he had a message to send to another king, he would give it to one rider, he would ride it so far and give it to another, he would ride on with it, give it to another, and that's the way they extended messages. Now, these advocates for the king had the right. If you were out there on the road on your horse and he didn't have somebody else and he had ridden as far as he needed to go, he could say, "Eric, take your horse and this message and you ride." Jesus is saying, "You don't see him, you take his message and you ride. And if you at all possibly can, go beyond. Don't be jumping up and down, my horse is tired already, hey guy. No, I'm not doing it. I don't have any time in my schedule. Don't you know better than to ask me?" You know, your neighbor comes over and says, "Hey, I see you have some nice tomatoes in your garden. Can I have a couple?" "No, for a moment." "Pulling too off to get too more, get to it." You get the idea. When somebody, it's easier to agree with your adversary. It's easier to do something rather than demand eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So go the second mile. By the way, a mile in Roman times was 1,000 paces. So be able to walk 2,000 paces. And I know I can see some of you, this old king, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. But be willing to go beyond. Jesus is teaching that. You know, if somebody wants to go faster down the road than you do, let him go.
Amen.
Amen. If somebody wants to sit a couple extra seconds at the red light, let him sit. Hello, I'm seeing a lot of smiling back there. If somebody wants to cut you off someplace, hit the brake, let him go. Amen? This is what Jesus is telling you. Don't be contentious in your life about things. Have the Christian spirit to be able to let somebody go and go with them the second mile. Now Jesus comes where it really gets touchy here. Give to him that asks. This is a general rule. It's better to give sometimes to an undeserving person than to turn away one really in need. You know, I've had plenty of times I've been here at the church and a knock comes on the door. And I go to the door and there stands this character in a car that looks like it's run a second mile. And they say, "I need some money." I don't shut the door and say, "Get out of here. I don't have any money to give you anyhow." No, I take him down to the store here, fill up his tank of gas and send him on his way. He's out of my hair. He's gone. Well, I had a fellow that challenged me on that some years ago. He came here and said, "I need some money." I said, "All right. I tell you what, I'll hire you. See all those leaves on the ground over there next to the woods? They're a carload of kids." I said, "You be here in the morning and you and the kids get rid of all those leaves over in the woods and I'll give you $100. He didn't show up. Of course, he didn't get his $100 either. see, sometimes you got these guys going around just trying to take advantage. The same general rule to be interpreted means that we need to be consistent in our duty with our families as well. Hear what Paul said to Timothy. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So when you're giving, you challenge an individual to provide for his family, provide, be out there working, doing what he needs to do. Wisdom. Wisdom, perhaps never good to give to somebody who is able to work. Listen to Paul to the Thessalonians. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if you would not work, neither should you eat. I was surprised when we went to Peru and Bolivia. There's no social services down there. There is no welfare. And I wondered to myself, well, how do people make it? Well, I found out right quick. Didn't matter what your physical state was. Didn't matter how old you were. You were on the street with a pile of bananas or some other something that you could sell and make some money so that you could buy bread and food for the day. So those who we would look at and say, boy, they can't work at all. They were out there. I saw 80-some-year-old sitting on the street all day long with a pile of bananas, and that they were selling them, making a little bit so they could eat that day. And God is saying to us, if you're not willing to work, if you're not willing to put some effort into it, I need to have a sit down with Donald Trump. Or Hillary. Or Harry, what's his name? Bernie. Good old Bernie wants to give everybody everything. Huh?
Essentialist.
Yeah. We have too many people in America today. They just want a handout. Yes. Jesus and Paul are telling us here, hey, give this message to the church. If you're in the church and you're not willing to work, I'm sorry, Caleb and Eli. I'm going to take this law home. He's going to say, hey, boy, if you want supper tonight, you're going to have to get out there and do some work. They do work. I knew it is that. You know anybody that doesn't want to work? Have you ever bumped into somebody that doesn't want to sweat? Doesn't want to put out energy? But oh, give to me. I've had plenty of them come by. And they say, hey, that's the reason why I told this fellow, go out there and get rid of those leaves and I'll give you some money. And you'll have something for you and the kids. So don't encourage laziness and support the idle at the expense of the industrious. If such a man is indeed hungry, feed him and then offer him a job. Get him a job so he can work. Now, if it's a widow, a man of misfortune, or a man that's infirm, somebody who is sick, and they're at your door, Jesus is saying, don't turn them away. Because when you entertain strangers, you may, unawares, entertain angels. I remember my great-grandfather saying back in the Depression, he was a farmer, and this old fellow came down the road, had a stick over his shoulder and all of his possessions was tied up in a little bag on the stick. And he stopped at the gate, yard gate, and said, would you have something to eat? And Kemp Lay, my great-grandfather, brought him into the house and said, Cora, fix the man a meal. She fixed him a full meal, set him down at the table. He ate full and plenty. Didn't have much to say. Got up and walked out the gate. As he turned and shut the gate, he turned to my grandfather and said, "As long as you live, you shall never want for anything." And walked on down the road. And God blessed him that he had all that he needed throughout his life. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 25. Jesus said, "The king shall say to them on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungry, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous answered and said to him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or fed you and thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you?'" Listen to what Jesus said. "As much as you have done it unto one of the least, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Wow. Hallelujah. Jesus is taking notes. I'll tell you about the story on Sister Mold. She was home all alone one dark night. If you've ever been to their house, it's a quarter of a mile lane to get back to on the main road. Somebody knocking on her door. And at night, Bill's not home. Guess what Sister Edna does? This strange man, full glass in the front door. He looks in the window, and there stands little Edna with her son. "Hey, Rob, you came in? Turn around and go back." "I don't blame her, do you?" "Not a bit. She had every right. He should have come in the daytime when Bill was there." Amen? We've got to use common sense when we do these things. But Jesus is taking notes. If there's somebody hungry and they really have need, if there's somebody that's sick and they need someone to visit, if there's somebody in jail and they would like to have somebody come by and preach to them or share with them Christ, he said that every time you do one of these things, I'm waiting for that. I've got to know that. I'm keeping track. And so when you get to heaven, he said, you come up and stand before me. He's not going to ask, how holy were you? Did you keep your dresses up to your neck? And your hands down below your knees? Did you cover your arms? How holy were you? Did you ever smoke, drink, chew? He doesn't call that stuff in. That's not what he's going to ask. He's going to ask whether or not you were generous to those in need. Then they say, welcome into my kingdom. See, what Jesus is teaching us here is that we need to be kind and polite to the poor, the needy. Those who wish to borrow, don't turn them away and deny them. Give to those who are in need, but to the lazy, make him work. Make him earn his living. Make him earn by the sweat of his brow. Should it be done consistently? This is every man's, every Christian's duty according to Christ. You're not to be judges. You're not to be magistrates. But you're to be liberal to those even who would hate you. That is a Christ-like spirit. How many want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, we hear you. You've come across to us loud and clear, Jesus. You've let us know what our duty to our fellow man is. You've let us know how we ought to live our lives, even when we have people who don't like us, even when we have people who want to take advantage of us. We know that if we'll serve you and live for you, when it is all said and done and finished, and we come and stand in your presence, we will see you look at the book, and you'll read the results of our lives. And if it says on there, we have gone the second mile, we have taken up for those in need, we have given when others had true needs, we have been faithful to our fellow man, and we have lived a Christ-like life and spiritual life in front of our neighbors and our friends, then you will say to us, come on in. Welcome home. And Lord, that's the end result. Help us. Help us to be friendly to those who are unfriendly. Help us, Lord, to the individual who does us wrong, to turn around and do them good. Help us, Lord Jesus, in our everyday walk of life to just be consistently walking in the Spirit of God.